When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get my pussy wet now every time I go. So what do you call that? This ain't no blog rap. I'm a real rap bitch. This not a podcast. Say you don't like me. Pray we don't cross paths. Say it in all caps. Bitch, you better fall back. I'm having no beef. This bitch won't say my name. That's not any destiny.
So last month was Black History Month. And today, the day we are recording, is International Women's Day, and it's also Women's History Month, and so
yeah, we love bitches.
Those are the views and opinions of not me.
You love bitches.
I hate dogs.
I mean, like, you don't like bad bitches.
I like Nicki Minaj.
Okay, so question: what type of gay are you? So, like, every gay has, like, their thing where, like, they gravitate towards a particular type of, like, girl, straight girl. Like, some gays gravitate towards, like, the really, like, ghetto girls. You know, the ones who wake up in the morning with flaming hots and they came to school loud.
Those are
you
my
have
girls.
The ones who, like, okay, those are my girls, too. But I also really like the bad bitches, the one with the makeup and the one that everybody think are mean and so forth and so on. But I also really like the fucking nerdy bitches. Like, I guess nerdy girls, too. And so, like, the nerdy bitches are my favorite, though, because they're, like, well, other than bad bitches. I like the bad bitches, like, the Megan Thee Stallion type bitches, the bad bitches that are also, like, nerds. That's my favorite brand. Because they also have, like, a really nice heart, but they also know how to put that shit on. So, salute to you, bitches of all kinds of natures.
I like all the girls. In school, in elementary school, I was always with the girls, and it was all different types of girls. Some girls were really pretty girls. Some girls was, all the girls were pretty, but some of them was just like, you could tell, like, you know, they always had their nails done. They always had their hair done. Like, you could tell they were more high maintenance. Some of the other girls were just like, I'm in sixth grade. Some of the other girls was like Christian, skirt to the floor. It was actually only one of those girls. I went to school with her from third grade all the way up to senior year.
Did she talk to you?
Yeah, we was cool. And I was actually having a conversation about her and about how she was just like, her parents walked her to and from school, even in high school.
Really?
Like, but I think some people bullied her, but me and her and a few other people, like, we ended up, like, we were actually, like, I considered us to be friends for what you can have friends for in school, because, you know how that go.
Yeah.
But I used to crack jokes on her to her face. That's how I know I was her friend. Like, I wasn't bullying her. I was, like, making fun of her. Like, you are such a Christian.
You're an ally. You are uplifting her by shaming her beliefs.
Not really, but it did. You know what the thing is? When you would crack a joke with her, she would make this face. She would just be like, and you could tell she would be irritated, but I would hope she didn't receive it as me bullying her. I haven't spoken to her in years, so I don't know.
I wonder what her version of this story when she looked back into it.
That's what I was just saying. I was just thinking, like, maybe she thought I was bullying her, but I thought we was cool, you know?
She probably looked back and had, like, trauma now. She's like, I thought these bitches were my friends.
I don't think so.
Making fun of me and shit.
Because on graduation day, it was me, her, and a couple other people that, you know, it was all smiles. So I think if she really had trauma, like, trauma.
Smiling through the pain.
I would say her name, but I don't know. She's probably, like,
Shout out to you, my Christian sister with the long skirt.
So y'all know I be watching documentaries and shit, and I stumbled across this documentary down to the YouTube called Fly With Me. It was about the airline industry, how it started, you know, booming in, like, the 50s or whatever. I don't know. It was actually like 2 hours long. I had to watch it over the course of a couple of days. Anyway, back in those days, you know, women barely had rights, and you know, black women didn't have a goddamn thing. And so there was this lady,
my headaches,
Patricia Banks, Edmonston. You know, you had to go to flight attendant school back in those days. They call them stewardesses. And it was all women, all white women. You know, you had to be very slender. You couldn't be too tall. You couldn't be too short. You had to, you back in those days, they weighed people because, you know, planes were still new. Like, you had to get on the scale to see what we putting on this plane, okay? Especially the flight attendants, like the flight attendant, well, the stewardesses, like during, like routinely, once they got off a flight, there would be a scale waiting for them. And, you know, if they were even so much as a pound overweight, they would get written up. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get three strikes of, you know, being overweight before they cut your ass loose. Anyway, I say all that to say, Pat Banks wanted to be a flight attendant, but she, a stewardess. I have to say stewardess because this is in that time. They don't call them that anymore. But she was black and she couldn't get hired. And so she was like, you know what? This ain't right. So she filed a lawsuit. It took her 3 years to eventually win that lawsuit in 1960. a little over 3 years. And she wasn't the first female. She wasn't the first black stewardess. That goes to a woman named Ruth Taylor. You see, I got the story memorized. It's so fascinating to me. Like, I just feel like, wow, we've come such a long way. Ruth Taylor was the first black stewardess in 1958, but Pat Banks won that case in 1960. So I'm just giving a shout out to Pat Banks and Ruth Taylor for leading the charge, because now we be seeing all the girls on the flights, we be seeing all the gays, all the men too, because back then it wasn't a man's place to be on
and
the
all plane. The asses.
You know what
all
I'm saying?
All the asses. Because now we don't get weighed and shit. Now you can be all types of sizes and shit.
Like,
every time I fly, I look for the thick flight attendant and the fine nigga flight attendant. Because it's usually one fine nigga flight attendant. They be hiding.
I'm certain there's still a weight limit because they have to be able to get through those little ass aisles. That's just my assumption. I don't know if that's the case. But I know they can't have nobody who's like, you know, 300 pounds on a plane because they couldn't fit.
Damn.
Anyway, so for the rest of this month, every episode, we are going to highlight black women.
We salute you.
At the beginning of this podcast. And the second woman I want to highlight today, well, technically third, because I talked about Ruth Taylor as well. Drea Michelle, the first black woman to successfully delete her wholeness.
An icon, a visionary. The mother of mothers, then, the mother of the first bad bitch.
And then
she was the original. Like, Drake drew up on Drea Face. These hoes want to be Drea Face now. Like, they're more advanced versions of Drea Face. Don't get me started. And now she's pregnant. Congratulations, Drea. I'm so happy for you and your fine ass nigga. Get that shit, girl.
Yes, the baby daddy is the baby as well. I love that. Shout out to Drea Michelle. I just think that
you're an A shamer.
I am. But I ain't gonna lie, he is fine. You know, he cracked. He cracked me. I wouldn't let him get me pregnant if I was 40. But
so you would let him give you a cream pie?
He would give me a cream pie, and he would go about his business. I'm not being committed to this man for the rest of my life. Cool.
But what if he's really, really sweet and he actually take care of him, like, out the way, everything that you need?
You know, we've talked about how I can't get past somebody being 24. Imagine somebody being 22. Now, on the flip side, he had a lot of money, allegedly. I guess he played one of them sports. He throw a ball, doing something.
Football.
Oh, it's football.
Or basketball. I think it'd be football or basketball. She normally dates football players. But
soccer. Players. Either way, shout out to
the balls be flying. I love Drea.
And
Larsa Pippen. We give a shout out to Larsa Pippen too on Women's Month. Larsa.
I want to revisit the fact that I said black women, not women who fuck black men. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is The Boys Next Door. I'm Blackberry.
And I'm Ken Lush. I support everybody fucking all types of men.
You know, I like being a contrarian, even though I don't really disagree sometimes, you know, like,
okay,
Drea having sex with that 22-year-old and having his baby and, you know, being in a relationship with him, that's funny to make a joke about, but I actually really don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
Larsa Pippen lying about getting cracked 10 times a night, you know, I really don't give a fuck. It's just funny to talk about, so
right, of course. I find that's how people should look at all social media, though. Like, those people who literally, like, look at stuff that people are, like, saying, recording with their lives and, like, getting on social media all day and, like, hate tweeting and, like, having something to say. Like, why the fuck do you give a fuck? Like, this really affects us in no fucking type of way. So,
also, shout out to Risa Tisa for getting signed by CAA. CAA, y'all need to start looking at people who have actual talent, though, because I've been doing this podcast for 5 years and I ain't got signed to nothing yet. So, I'm just saying...
Maybe we should get on TikTok.
See, I just did the thing. I'm an equal opportunity hater. I can give you props and throw shade at the same time. Because I just feel like everybody, you know what?
You're backhanded bottom.
I'm not going to do it.
You're a backhanded bottom.
You're blocked. How was your week? Bitch.
Wait, no, we're not going to sprinkle a little parsley on that. My week was good. I had a good week. It was very chill. I worked. I came home, I slept, and now I'm repeating. I'm not boy crazy this week because my apple of my eye wasn't around, so I've just been chilling. Cursing boys out left and right, you know the usual, Taurus shit. Sagittarius move.
I've been having an interesting week with men as well. We'll get more into that in the confession segment, but as far as everything else, you know, I don't really have a list this week, but HEB is on my list. I know you don't have an HEB out there in Vegas, but HEB is like the grocery store.
The gas station.
No, it's the grocery store. And so I couldn't order my groceries for a couple days. Mind you, I'm starving, losing weight, panicking. You know what I'm saying? And I'm totally in like, what do you call that?
Shook. Panicking.
What's that? I don't know. Survival mode. I was dying, withering away, flying into the wind like a piece of tumbleweed. Bitch, I was so goddamn hungry. And I had to make a whole new account just to be able to order my groceries. So what that says to me is my account was flagged or something because they just wouldn't let me do anything. And I just want all these corporations and people to know, while I'm on it, Moseri, Instagram, fuck y'all. I'm so tired of being shadow banned by Instagram every 2 to 3 business days. Leave me the fuck alone. That's my list for the week, even though I didn't have one.
They probably want you to leave on the fuck alone, too. I just want to know how you get banned from everything.
Like, I don't understand it. I don't be doing nothing.
I feel like they're just like, you must be on like a black book of people who are never allowed on social media. Because it just makes no sense at this point.
It's really unfortunate. But speaking of social media, shout out to Bia. Bia, Bia.
Bia, Bia.
I'm not gonna tell y'all why, but girl. If you and my close friends, you know why. But I am just gonna say this. What you about to say?
Mm-hmm. How often do you clean out your close friends?
I'm about to do it today. Notice that some people are in mine and I'm not in theirs, which is fine. But I'm just gonna remove you. I pay attention to who is watching and not interacting. I'm very in tune with that. Mm-hmm. And also, I've learned, because there have been things that have gotten leaked from my OnlyFans. Obviously, I'm not a nobody. I mean, obviously, I'm a nobody, so the things that have gotten leaked is not like, oh, breaking
news. Brody getting slipped. You better claim that.
But they get leaked to people who I was talking about. So I've learned over time to like,
Ruby Rose.
If I don't want nobody seeing this, I won't post it. So whatever I post to my close friends, I'm okay with it getting out. However, I did post something yesterday, that I felt like it's a few people that probably could have took some screenshots. And so I let them enjoy y'all moment. Have fun, because you're getting removed. Once all my stories expire, because I'm not going to let you see that you just all of a sudden don't see no green bubbles. You just going to forget about it. You're done, bitch.
I don't like when people aren't slick enough to do that, though. Like, when people add you to their close friends, like, I can see you adding me, like at the beginning. But when people add you after they already had a story going, mm-hmm. and you've already been in their, like, close friends, it's like, bitch, you obviously removed me because I just watched your story. And then I'm one of the people, like I said before, I go back and I watched your previous story. So if I'm suddenly popped up and I see a green bubble, I'm like, bitch, what were you hiding from me for the last 24 hours? But to each their own, scary bitches.
Well, I think we should go ahead and light the blunt.
Oh, hallelujah. I've been waiting. I ain't smoked all day.
I really don't have much to light the blunt to. I just want to smoke.
Okay. I'm lighting the blunt to want to smoke, too.
Let's light it. I finally texted that one plug back who stood me up about a month ago when I was looking for, you know, I was like, fuck, I'm weak. I need it. tapping my veins and shit. No, because, okay, honestly, I think we talked about it. I think I talked about it with you, but I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast. I'm kind of like, I have like this looming thought that I'm going to like put the weed down, and not just for like a little break. Like, I'm going to put it down for a minute because I don't like waking up tasting weed. I don't like, you know, tasting weed throughout the day. You know what I'm saying? The taste of smoke has been irritating me lately. You know what the taste I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
But I don't have that issue. I don't know if I smoke less than you. Because, okay, so in the morning, I can't remember. When you wake up, do you smoke a full blunt or you smoke half?
I never smoke a full blunt.
Okay, me either. Like, in the morning when I wake up, I usually smoke, like, if I have, like, the half left over from the day before, I smoke some of that. Then I continue on with my day. And then I roll up to go to work. And then I smoke while I'm at work. And so, like, I don't really, like, smell it, like, through the... Come home, first lady. I don't really smell it through the day. I don't really taste it. This is the
one. I just got so hot.
You have a heat flashes.
Shout out to this particular issue of Teen Vogue with Nicki Minaj. I have so many Nicki Minaj covers that I did not realize until I pulled them out of my closet. And speaking of Women's History Month, shout out to the most successful tour by a female rapper. And it hasn't even concluded. And I want the girls to go look at the images and look at the ticket sales, and I want y'all to see what a sold out arena looks like, okay? I don't give a fuck if two of the seats is sectioned off, and I'm talking to you. Yeah, I gotta make sure I make that point to you every time I say it, bitch, because the shows, they're selling, like her music.
I was actually gonna go get a ticket to the tour tonight, but
yeah, she's in Vegas tonight.
Yeah, like there is some seats available. They're only like the tickets aren't, the prices aren't bad either. So I was thinking about it. Depending on when we get finished.
Yeah, the girls.
I don't have anything to wear.
That's the thing too. The girls they be doing the reselling. They be looking real stupid when don't nobody buy them tickets. Yeah, you try to gouge them prices up and realize won't nobody falling for that bullshit. They did that for the Beyonce concert.
Hell no.
Them tickets on down, bitch.
I'm going to an hour before, and I'm gonna see what they talking about, mm-hmm. and then I'm gonna go from there. And they were floor seats too for 100, and I think like 18. It was like, I think it was either 118 or 170 something.
Hmm.
Okay. Namaste, bitch. Namaste. Yeah, I'm like, that's not bad. And it was like whoever like was trying to scalp the tickets, they bought like a row. And so it's like six seats right side by side. I'm like, I might have to pull the trigger on that one. Cause I can only do floor. Like, I want to try to start doing riser seats when I go to concerts. Cause I feel like you get better pictures that way. But it's something about being on the floor that makes me feel like alive. Cause the energy is like kind of like, I don't know. I've only been on the floor at concerts, though.
I was going to say I've never been on the floor at a concert, but that's a lie because I was on the floor at the Cupcake concert. And Nicki's...
technically, we were.
Not technically, right? Not Nicki's last concert, but the Pink Print tour, I finessed like third row. So that was technically
Yeah, you did. I think I was on the floor for that one, but I was just way back on that one. I was like, okay, bitch. And that was at the fucking Tinley Park.
Yeah.
Outdoor, whatever.
Terrible, whatever. But
it's a good amphitheater for like rock concerts, not that type of like setting.
Okay.
The parking's abysmal too.
And so I'm on the floor for this one, but I'm on like I'm not super close to the stage. So I think the day of the show or closer to the show, I think I might put my ticket up and then get another one, put my ticket up, or find somebody who want my ticket and sell it to them. Because I kind of want to be a little closer to the stage. She's actually doing her thing. I really like the setup of the show and all of that stuff. So I'm trying to talk into the mic.
I'm really big on like stage production and stage set and stage design. That's like my thing. Like I love, like whenever I go to concerts, this is so nerdy. I like to look at how the lights illuminate everything. And I like to look at the reflection, the LEDs, all that shit like that. Like the concert's the main thing, but that's like damn near hand in hand for me. Like I'm really big on that, and I was really glad that like her set, like I was hoping that she did what Britney Spears did for her Onyx Hotel tour and like made like a kind of like a hotel type vibe. Oh. And so the fact she actually did like a whole like city type thing, and like it actually looks really high budget, and it's not just like two flashing colors and just like two screens and shit, Doja. So I really like the full overall ambiance of the tour.
You know, no shade, but I did see a lot of people complaining about Doja's tours. The people that I heard complaining about it, most of the people went and had fun. Even people that complained about it said it was a good show, but they said they it appeared that it was probably rushed, like the design of the stage. I don't know. I didn't really see.
But that's how they save a lot of money with that shit too. Like you save a lot of money. Like most of the money goes into like the production, the tour, like the set and all that. Oh, now I'm saying smoking your eyes the worst. But like all that shit, like she saved money on the end, and like from the videos I saw, the concert was really good. So shout out to another black woman.
She get half a shout out because she half black. I saw people
Rihanna.
Really complaining about Rihanna. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll shut up.
Okay.
Like I said, I thought Rihanna did good. Y'all know what kind of performer Rihanna is. Like she does. Like, well, I'm not understanding it. I will say one of my favorite Rihanna performances though is Diamonds. First of all, I like Diamonds at. It was okay at the VMAs, but she did it somewhere else. I can't remember. I'm thinking of that one. But
she did it. The Grammy. Was she wearing black? Or was she wearing?
I think it was black. And it was a bit poofy.
I think. Yes, that was the fucking Grammy. It was the Oscars or Grammys.
I love that. I love the way Rihanna sings that song, and I love the way she sings like "Love on the Brain" and.
Those are my Rihanna songs because she's able to actually like perform. Like Rihanna's a cool, like I will not get on my battleship today with you all, but Rihanna's a cool performer. Like she's not going out there, she's hitting her 10 counts whatever, but it's in Rihanna's way. Like if Rihanna danced like Beyonce,
Rihanna is very Aaliyah about it in my opinion. Like Aaliyah was just like, you know I can hit this, but I'm
perfect example.
You
know. Yeah, I'm cool with it. Like everything, like the hands, the fucking like Rihanna's essence is the performance, okay? And then like she's up there, she's performing and shit like that. And people had so much to say. I personally was not a fan of it, of the performance, at all, because I just feel like.
Did you feel like it wasn't a good comeback performance?
I don't even call it a comeback performance because it just wasn't. It was like. A charity thing. Like, that's like the owner of her corporation, damn near. Of course, you're gonna go perform in this shit and she get paid for it. But it's also like considering, like, Rihanna hasn't really performed since February. She was not, February of last year. She wasn't prepared for that. Like, she wasn't prepared. Mama was winded. She was up there. She was bored. And I can tell Rihanna's bored of her old shit now. Like, some shit she likes performing still. She loves performing Bitch Better Have My Money, which is, like, my top three favorite Rihanna songs.
She
likes performing Diamonds. And then she likes performing Love on Her Brain, too. Those are, like, her three songs she loves performing now. Every other song, she's just like, okay, cool. Let's just go through the motions. Like, I'm ready for Rihanna to get into season mode where she's like, okay, we know the era's coming. When she gets her ass in the gym, she's, like, with her choreographer. She's with, like when she starts popping out and she has those fits on, that's how I know Rihanna's coming back. That was not a comeback performance. That was just like a, I'm still around, girl. Now I'll do it if I got to. But she looked cute.
I want to implore y'all to, like, cut her some slack. Like, first of all, y'all already know she's a chill performer. Second of all, the girl is barely postpartum. Like, she just had another baby.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, because I saw this online too, like, she was barefoot because, like, she was in India. I guess they be dancing barefoot.
Yeah, that's the tradition. That's their tradition. That's what they do. Like, she's not going to be out there with, I'm pretty sure her feet couldn't handle walking around and fucking performing in her heels like she normally does. Like, that's just, like, the bitch wears stilettos when she performs. Let's be real. Like, okay? And so, like, this is just a taste test. She was like, she felt the scene. She felt it out. She scoped it out. And then when she come back, it's going to be proper. Because they said one of her replacements had to cancel their tour. So, sometimes things happen at particular
shows. Oh, you know what? Okay. Now, I don't have no beef with this girl. I don't, cause I'm sure the Navy got their own opinions. I'm not into all that.
I don't have no opinion. Good girl.
No, and this is no shade at all. But I like them two Tyler songs that I know, right? I think she's very cute. I think she can make good songs. I think she can sing. I get why people make the Rihanna comparisons. First of all, I want y'all to stop doing that. These new artists need to be new artists. Like, there can never be another Rihanna. There can never be another
Because these new artists are not superstars. These new artists are
That is very
they're
true.
They're fucking placeholders for what they want them to be like. And they're not that. And that's why they set them up for failure each time.
Now, I can agree with you because we are in the same age range. We grew up on the same music. We grew up on the same stars. The age thing was not shade just then, but I just remembered that that's a sore spot for you, so I'm going to just move on. I wasn't even saying it like that. I'm just saying we from the same era.
You said that. Okay, bitch, you just said that there. You said like I was listening to Smokey Robinson and Aretha Franklin, bitch.
Well, I was. I know you wasn't, but that's the stuff I was listening to growing up.
Exactly.
But that's not my generation.
I grew up on 3LW.
That's my generation, 3LW, all that type of stuff. We grew up on stars. So I can agree with you, but I also feel like that's like old head of us to be like, oh, well, these new kids ain't 100%. Got no superstars. So I don't want to be like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's definitely that vibe. It's definitely that vibe, though.
Because our parents did it too.
They 100% did. And I saw Katy Perry go come out last night for whatever fucking award show it was. And when I say she looked like a fucking million fucking dollars, I'm not even a Katy cat. But it's the fact of like these new artists don't fucking have that type of shit anymore. Like they're all manufactured. Like of course our artists were like manufactured to the T, where everything was perfect. They were like industry plans, like however you want to say it, but these artists now, they don't even have the passion for what the industry they're trying to jump into to make a quick buck. And that's the issue. They don't have the love for the industry that most of the people that we grew up on and most people that we love had, until like they get involved in the wrong shit. Then they're like, bitch, fuck it, I don't want to do this shit no more. And you know how that shit goes.
I feel like a lot of that is because oh my god, we old heads to the young kids, because in their minds, they probably have their stars. Like, they look at our stars as the old heads, right? That's number one. Number two, the new generation of artists I think it's a luxury, and I think it could also be like the downfall as well. They have the ability to be independent and put their music out and do what they want to do and you know, survive that way. Whereas our stars really had to like go to labels, sell CDs out their trunk, you know what I'm saying? That type of vibe.
I was thinking about that earlier this week. It's the fact that, like, okay, so somebody was like, oh my god, I didn't even know Ariana, they called her Ponytail, had a new album coming out. Because back in our day, whenever you had an album coming out, you were on every fucking show. You was on every fucking radio show. You were like around. You were like magazines. You had like a full fucking rollout. Nowadays, people are just dropping an album. They might drop a video, and then you might see them do an interview for Apple Music or something that you get a clip from on Twitter. Like, it's the game of how people even promote their music and how music spreads has changed so drastically, where we're not able to create these superstars because there's no like there's nothing to graft onto them. Like, they aren't getting booked to do magazine covers anymore. Like, their fashions are all, like, fucking fake because they don't know how to really dress and they don't have their own, like, particular style. That's, like, I really like, what's that girl? Billie Eilish. I feel like she had, like, her own particular taste.
Billie Eilish is a star.
And, yeah, like, that's a star. Like, and then it's just kind of, like, those type of people don't really fade away. And that's kind of why, like, you see the longevity of the Rihannas and the Beyoncés and the Nickys and the Katys and the Drakes. Because we were all, like, I won't say fed them, but we were all introduced to them in a way where we got to know them on a grand scale other than, oh, I'm about to release a project, here you go. Like, we saw them constantly, so it's different.
But to the Ariana album thing, Ariana is one of those artists who has, like, a cult fan base. She don't really have to promote her album because it's gonna get eat up. It's gonna get ate up anyway. Taylor Swift is not doing a bunch of interviews. That album's going number one.
Taylor too. Taylor.
Taylor really is like that cusp, because Taylor came. I feel like Taylor is like, well, I don't know. Taylor been in the game almost 20 years. If we being for real, like she, you like,
yeah,
you really
Taylor's been here.
Her. You can't. That's why when I be hating on her, I be feeling bad, even though I know I'm not for real hating. Because I told y'all I like to hate on Taylor Swift in public, like, you know, around Black people. But and I'm a Swift
baby. I was listening to Lover the other day, and I got in that car, a couple of tears almost. Shit, oh shit! I had to stop.
One thing about it,
if the
girls start hyping up Taylor Swift, I'm like, y'all really love this mediocre white girl. And then I'm gonna get in my car and I'm gonna turn up. I don't know about you, I'm feeling 22. Oh, and don't let my song come on. Let's get out of this town. Drive out of the city, away from the crowd. Girl, that wild streams. Don't play with Taylor. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Beyonce is better.
Taylor got some bops though. So. Taylor take you there if you let her. If you let her take down that wall, she will get you there. She got some
destiny. Have I ever cried to a Taylor Swift song? Perhaps. Perhaps.
And I'll do it again. If Dear John come on at the wrong time, it's a wrap. Tsunami.
Do I know some of the dance moves from the Reputation tour? Maybe.
Oh. Are we there with it? Oh, we're there with it. Okay. I didn't know we was going
but
there.
In
okay.
public, okay. Taylor Swift is getting shamed by me. So, but this is just between
it's
us.
It's only right. And it's fresh out Black History Month. It's only
right. Oh, right. But it's Women's History Month. But she's not black, so I can't say nothing good about her.
I mean, it's not Black Women History Month.
I'm making it Black Women History Month because we didn't celebrate no black people last month. We totally forgot about it.
No, because you were praising your fucking Caucasian lovers all fucking month last month.
That is an allegation, Quad.
You and your lesbian lover.
But I say all that to say, I saw that Tyler was canceling her tour because she had an injury. And I'm like, girl, this tour is not selling.
Yeah, that's what it is. You can't sell a tour off one TikTok song, bitch. You got to get it together. Tighten up the ship. You have potential. I'm rooting for you. Whatever. Good luck.
I mean, what's all the animosity about, though? Why you don't like her?
The waters are deep.
What's the beef with... Did she say something bad about Rihanna?
No, not at all.
So why... What's...
You know the industry just like I know the industry. You know when they start trying to prop people up and they start doing that comparison shit... You know where it always leads to. You know what it leads to.
But I feel I feel like the comparison is natural, and I feel like you're seeing it more because you're probably on Twitter, and Twitter is in a like bubble.
I hope she can swim because. I won't even do it.
What is the animosity about? I don't get it.
I'm mentally preparing for when the day comes. I'm just mentally preparing.
Now, this is you sound just like how the Barbs be sounding. Y'all be like, oh, every time a new girl come out, the Barbs got to do da da. You sound like them.
No, and this happens all the time.
And the Barbs don't be doing this. The Barbs like rap girls, but go ahead.
And we like R&B girlies, too. The thing is, the problem comes in when the comparisons start. Because then every question that she's getting is going to get about Rihanna. How do you feel about Rihanna? What do you feel about... how do you feel about the comparison about Rihanna? How do you feel about this? Blah, 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 blah. And then it's going to automatically start creating a resentment within her where she's going to slip up. She's going to post something on her close friends about Rihanna. And I'm going to be like, bitch, I told all
you y'all. You just made that up. None of that has happened.
but this is what happens, though. Like, every fucking time in the industry, every time somebody was like, okay, well... Nikki, for instance, like they're like, okay, this girl, they're comparing her to Nikki, and then everybody's always like, the Barbs are the first to be like, okay, we watch, like, I follow a lot of the same Barbs you follow, and I'm in a lot of the same Barbs, like, not all of them.
Well, I'm not on Twitter, I'm not on BX, so, you know.
I was gonna say close friends on Instagram, so I be seeing a little post here and there, so I be knowing a little inside stuff. But I'm just saying, y'all be having y'all eyes set for the next girlies and where the comparisons are coming in at, and y'all are quick to be like,
you know what?
The good news
with most of the rap girlies is like if they are being compared to Nicki Minaj on a talent level, like. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, like, obviously you can tell that Dolce is in some way influenced by Nicki by the way she raps. And Dolce is fucking nuts, by the way. Dolce is just like, y'all don't even
understand. Yucky Ducky Fruitcake.
Y'all don't understand.
She made Yucky Ducky Fruitcake. Yucky Ducky Fruitcake alone is enough. That's all she had to make.
Y'all don't even understand how crazy she is. She don't get her all her credit yet. But I think she gonna get it one day. You know, they say, like, Young Baby Tate, they did that whole thing with her. And
I love her, too.
Obviously, there is some Nicki influence in there. But I just feel like y'all got to let the girls be the girls. Because when y'all be comparing them to like, the artist that's bigger than them, obviously the influence is there. They can't be in the industry and not be influenced by somebody like that. But y'all set them up because they either be trash or they don't live up to what y'all are trying to hold them up to. Let these girls be.
Exactly. And Normani's dropping Dopamine soon. Woo!
Shout out to Normani. I'm excited to hear that. I'm sorry to hear about her parents, but
yeah,
I'm glad she's giving us music.
And while we're talking about Women's History Month, Cardi B's song Miami's coming out soon.
I wanna revisit the fact that I said Black Women's History.
Okay.
Anyway. And we don't want to go down that road, so let's move on because we haven't even started the show. Let's get into our first topic. This is a Twitchuation, and I think you should read that because I do kind of want to talk about this.
Uh-oh, here we go. Where'd it go? Okay, so all we've talked about this before on the podcast, and I feel like this is just a topic that like is so different and for us now that we're actually actively dating. And we're actively trying to get involved with people and so forth and so on. So this situation comes from Baby I've Been a Joint. I know that's right. He says, and you guys have seen it, so I already know y'all have opinions.
Because it's been all over the blogs, girl.
Has it? It's been like, okay, so anyway, let's get to it. Dating does not mean we have to talk every day. Huh? Okay. We'll set up a situation. We'll go about this a different way. We'll set up a situation. Boom.
I don't need you making up no more scenarios. You just made up that whole thing about Tyler, Shade, and Rihanna and her close friends. Like,
no, I didn't. I'm just saying that's how it goes.
Yeah, I know, but the fact that your brain came up with that is psychotic. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, bitch, we've been established. I'm a little bit crazy. And this is a little. Right into the playbook. I did go off on somebody this week again. So, I mean, it just happens. But, okay. How often do you expect to talk to someone that you actively like and are dating? We'll start there. And I'll spark this up.
I think once a day is fine. Twice a day. Like, in the morning, in the afternoon, we talk in the morning, like, good morning. And then, like, hey, Nayuma, how's your day? Et cetera, et cetera. You know, a little small talk. We can have a conversation at night, you know, via text or phone. If we skip a day, depends on how much I like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we text on Monday and we don't text on Tuesday, but I kind of like you, by Wednesday, you've gone down like a dramatic percentage in my eyes.
100%.
So it's gonna take a lot of, you know, you've been, you know how in fight games how you get beat up and you lose energy, you lose health, you're damaged about 75% right now. So you might want to get it together because now I'm shopping around. I'm going back down now because you clearly ain't looking for me. But if I don't like you, I don't really care like that. You know what I'm saying? Like if we just cooling, ain't really, you know, on that level. Whatever, you ain't gotta text me. I'm fine, bitch.
I told. Oh, wait a minute. Now some more parsley. I totally agree, honestly. Because okay, so I don't know. I agree. Because if I like you, I want to talk to you. Okay, here we go. Okay,
right, yeah. Tell the truth, bitch. If I like, you're fucking crazy. Go ahead.
If I like you, I think conversation naturally just flows throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Like I've never dated somebody that I did not like enough to want to talk to them. Like rather, like let's say like we wake up in the morning or something like that, you start off with a good morning text, blah blah blah. You get your day started. So you're not automatically texting back real fast, blah blah blah. You both should have a job or have something going on where you should be a little bit busy. Unless one's off and the other one's getting ready. So forth and so on, or you're both off. However so forth the situation may be. But I expect, like, a conversation, like, kind of, like, steady throughout the day. Unless we're busy, then it's like, hey, I got busy. Or, hey, I'm about to be busy at work. And that's where communication comes in for me. I'm really big on, if you want to talk to me, you will talk to me. If you don't want to talk to me, you won't talk to me. If you want to interact with me, you will interact with me. And I feel like you showing that you don't want to interact with me and we're dating, like, actively dating and actually getting to know each other and actively building this, like, communication and foundation, I feel like that's a precursor for the rest of the fucking relationship. Because now you don't feel the need to actually talk to me throughout the day. You don't feel the need to check in with me throughout the day. Like, even, like, I'm one of the people, like, my days are usually so, like, steady. I have a very steady day. And so the conversation is never about my actual day. It's about fucking everything else going on in my fucking brain. I'm a fucking nutcase. And so it's just, like, I'm a pretty fun person. And so, I mean, like, if you don't want to talk to me, I just feel like somebody, another guy probably definitely does, and he will gladly talk to me instead if you don't want to.
I just feel like it has to be one of those things where if we're talking every day, we're not having small talk every day. Because one thing about it, I'm not gonna keep responding to how are you. Now, granted, the energy has to be transferred both ways. So if I'm not giving the energy, I'm not necessarily expecting it back. But clearly, we not caring enough to put a little more energy into this as a unit. You know what I'm saying? I know for me, like, I just get bored really easily. So I'm not, like, small talk really. Somebody small talks me so much. In a platonic way, it just, like, almost makes me want to block them. Like, because I don't want to keep telling you how I'm feeling. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to talk about the weather. I don't want, you know, like, let's just not speak if we're going to be doing this. But if we are, if I actually like you, and I'm thinking of a couple people right now. Mm-hmm. If I actually like you and you decide you're going to go a whole day without talking to me, you might as well go on vacation. Put your hours in. Don't show back up to work, bitch. I mail you your check. You are done. You do not get a chance to treat me that way. You're done.
But that's how life works. If you don't show up for work, you don't get paid.
Ooh, period. Exactly.
Like you have to show up for work.
Clock in, bitch.
Like, you can't. Okay, clock in. If you're not clocking in, another nigga definitely will take your fucking position. And so I feel like nowadays niggas feel like, and I'm sticking to my bottoms out here, we make it real easy for them to feel like we're replaceable. Like, we make it real easy for them to be like, okay, well, if I don't want to be around, I don't have to be around, and so forth and so on. And I'm really big on, you can't bring that energy over here to my doorstep. And I make sure, like, and maybe that's why, like, it curtails both guys from dealing with me, too, which I guess is a double-edged sword, because I demand a certain type of energy, I demand a certain type of communication, I demand that type of stuff if we're going to be on that level. Like, because if that's the case, like, I have friends I text every other day, or I have friends I check in with every other day.
And I don't need, like, no new friends. You, like, why are you on my phone, baby?
Exactly. So at that point, you're wasting my time. So if you're not intentionally on my phone and intentionally trying to do something, I'd rather you just intentionally take your ass where the fuck you need to be at and stay where the fuck you was from the days you did not clock into work. So.
Now, what I will say is, it's total. I feel like it's, even as much as we may not like it when somebody be like is not really giving us the energy back, it's okay. Like, everybody has the right to make their own decisions and communicate with who they don't want to communicate with. I think what we need to do as a people, I would like for us to, like, not internalize it so much, because it's not really about you. Like, I understand, like, our egos get bruised, our feelings get hurt, all of that's fine, but, like, at the end of the day, we have to be realistic about it. Somebody can choose to not like you, and that's okay, and you have to be okay with that. Motherfucker don't like me, let me move on and find a motherfucker who do. Like, it don't have to be this whole, like, emotional thing. That's just me speaking, because I'm real quick to be like, oh, okay, well, he don't fuck with me like that. All right, cool. I'm going to just move on. Because I've been the dummy that's been crying over niggas that I'm not even in a relationship with. So now I'm just like a hard head, make a soft ass. And I don't want my ass to get no more soft. It's already jiggling now, okay? I don't want to get softer in that.
Come on, chocolate pound cake.
I've already done my crying over niggas. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I'm past the stage too now. And I'm one of the people, I get stuck on niggas because I'm one of those people, like, and I've said it many times on the podcast, I'm very particular about the type of niggas that I like. Like, not the type of niggas that I want to fuck on or type of niggas I hook up with. The type of niggas that I actually want to invest time in and like are very particular. So it's very far between to actually like a nigga. So when I like a nigga, I'd be like, okay, I'll stick around a little bit and see what it's giving. But if the temperature don't get hot pretty soon, I'll make sure you feel how cold it can be. And so, like, I always just want to make sure I'm intentional. I always want to make sure that everything has a purpose. But also, I want to make sure that I don't start pushing. I stop giving more time and attention to situations that are dead and don't have anything going on. And I feel like because I am so, like, I really like you, and I'm very just like very like I'm a simp. If I like you, I am simping hard. We talk about that like all the time on the podcast. And so I'm trying to like train myself to get out of being a simp. What do you got to say?
I don't think being a simp is a bad thing, and I think we should discuss that more when I have my confession after this next topic. Okay.
Cool.
I don't know. We're a little crazy on time. Let me see which one I want to do because it's kind of. Oh, I don't know which one I'm going to do because I found these things on Reddit and I'm trying to see. Like, oh, you know what? I think let's go with this one because I think it kind of fits more in with the do you need to be texting somebody every day? What you about to say?
Is it the first one?
It's the first one.
Okay, cool.
So I got this from Reddit. Somebody posted this a day ago. They said, anyone else here struggle with avoidant attachment style? And I didn't read this whole thing, but I already knew this is me to a T. I can tell. Okay. So this person writes, anyone else struggle with keeping friendships and relationships? I get close to someone and end up ruining it by avoiding them because I can't understand they want or even like me genuinely. I crave intimacy and giving the same back to my partner, but I'm so afraid of being hurt. That part don't relate to me. I'm not afraid of being hurt. I'll just be like, okay, whatever. I recently cut off a lot of people that I gave the cold shoulder, not because I genuinely didn't like them, just avoiding getting hurt at all costs. For example, if I get left on red, I immediately move on because I don't want to come across as clingy. Did I literally just say that? When a nigga don't want to talk to me, I just like, okay. Well, fuck me too.
Did you write this
bitch,
one?
Did I?
I can't see you. I can't see who the author is.
It doesn't have. It was written a day ago. I promise this is not for me. This is from user He Lag on Reddit. Okay. And my name on Reddit is Blackberry. So
okay, and mine is Ken Lush. Don't look for what I comment on.
I don't even use Reddit like that. I don't never like because I don't know how to use it. It looked like a Yahoo
it's
thread.
It's so cool. It's a lot. It's definitely Yahoo vibes. It is definitely Yahoo vibes. Remember Yahoo News to me? So I'm like, bitch, I don't even know what to click on first.
This,
like,
just so many lines and boxes. I just can't take it.
Bitch, yes. Like, oh my God. It was like, you know, like when, like, back in the day on MySpace, you should be able to add widgets suddenly. And then it was just like,
I was too young for MySpace. I don't know. Everybody in my class had a MySpace, though. I didn't make a MySpace until they came back in, like, 2010, you know, when they revamped it or something.
Ew, that was like music MySpace.
And nobody used it. It just went back away.
No, it was just Tila Tequila and Justin Timberlake album.
Okay, so for example, if I get left on red, I immediately move on because I don't want to come across as clingy. Getting to a point where if I don't help myself, I'll be alone for the rest of my life. I have so much love to give someone. I'm not looking for pity, just for people to relate to not feel alone.
Oh.
This is my sister.
100%. Okay.
How do you feel about
people
that?
Like this, they scare me. Okay, because, like, y'all scare me so bad. Because, like, okay, we all have different attachment styles. We all have different traumas. We all have different, like, things that we're trying to unpack while also trying to learn how to dwell and, like, mesh with someone who we're inviting to come into our own form of chaos. And so now you're balancing how you feel and assuming what someone else feels. And then, like, there's no clear communication that's, like, being made throughout. So now, like, you have all your anxious feelings. And this person is left in fucking, like, la-la land trying to figure it all out. And instead of, like, just, like, being, like, allow yourself to be open. I'm not judging the person or the people with the fucking avoidant attachment style.
You clearly have hate towards us. You hate us.
No, I don't. It's just, like, because I have anxious attachment style. Like, so I have, like, I'm really, like, I'm like, I'm always like
the opposite, like almost
the total, the like 100%. And so it's like, I want to be attached to you. And even if you do like me, you won't make the move to actually like show you like me because you're too afraid of being hurt by me. And so now it creates this like this confusion in the center that always bothers me. And so it just be like, I wholeheartedly feel, because you said like earlier, like you don't know what a person is going through or a person is dealing with on their own. And so it just kind of like, it forces me to be even more understanding of what someone else has going on in their life. You see, very classy. You gotta snap. And what someone else has going on in their life. And, like, it forces me. He is so hard-headed. So hard-headed. I snap, and so now he's like, dang.
You're like that. You're like that parent, like, who's, like, working from home.
Hey!
And she also has to discipline her kids because they're out of school for the week because it's spring break.
100%.
She won't turn her camera or her mic off. She just started yelling at him. You know.
Mm-hmm. Girl, that's hard being a single mother out here. Okay,
he's a single mom who works two jobs and loves her kids and never stops.
Is that a country song?
That is Reba. Girl, hit with your song, okay. Girl. With your story.
You are. Not you want me to sing one too.
I'm a survivor.
It's a versus. We can sing Dear John. Do you know that song?
Let's finish your story, babe. Let's get back on task.
I was done talking.
Okay. Yeah, so after bitch. All that slanderous material about avoided attachments, for me, I'm not afraid to get hurt. I'm over that point in, like, I think I've been alone so long that I'm past the point where I can get hurt very easily. Now it's like, Elsa locked away in a adjacent forest because if I get too close to everybody else, the whole town gonna freeze to death type vibes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, bro.
I'm not afraid to get hurt, but obviously subconsciously, it's like a muscle.
Self-sabotage.
The way my body responds to that type of stuff is to shut away, push you out, and act like I don't care as much because if I don't care, I don't get hurt. But I don't think of it as like, oh, I don't want to, you know. I tell myself that, like, do you want to be crying stupid over a nigga? No, you don't want to be doing that. So that's how I avoid most stuff. But for me, it's literally just like a defense mechanism, and I don't even have to think about it. It's just something I do. And now I'm in a situation where y'all know I've been on those apps trying to date people. I'm fine. I'm doing it. Like, people are, I'm like, no, don't clap. No, I'm pushing them away.
Oh, I'm like trying to get close to me. I'm like,
bitch, 50 feet, 6 feet. Oh. We still in COVID. That's how I'm feeling. You know what I'm saying? So.
But that's because I feel like that's almost like you, like a muscle memory to
right.
Do that, though.
And it's not even.
And you're calling attention to it.
It's not conscious, but now I'm aware of it more. So, yeah.
What are you doing to, like, combat that, though? Like, what are you doing to actually, like, try to change it in the midst of you noticing that that's what's going on?
I can't say that I'm, like, doing a whole lot. Like, it's just like...
You're succumbing to the pressure. You're succumbing.
It's hard for me. I'm an avoidant attachment. I'm an Aquarius. And I have a lot of childhood trauma. All of that combined means I'm very hard to fucking deal with, okay? Yeah. I was telling my friend about a situation, and I told you about the situation earlier, and I told my other friend the same situation. He told me to get out of the dating pool. And, you know, when they said it was full of piss, I'm probably peeing in the pool right now, you know? I'm not contributing to a healthy dating society right now. Because I'm like... I'm not texting back. I'm not texting you every day. I'm not texting you all day while I'm at work. I'm not interested in doing that. I don't care what you ate for lunch. Like, you know.
So what exactly do you care about when it comes to these people that you're dating?
It sounds like I don't care, but fuck it. Let's just move into confessions. So I had a date last weekend. Did I tell you that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I had a date last weekend. Okay. It was a nice date. He paid. That's how you do on dates. Somebody pay. For y'all listening, you going Dutch on the first date. Okay, stop doing that.
I told y'all.
Set the standard.
I told y'all.
Like Monique said, if we keep saying, we'll get him the next time. Next time doesn't come, my sweet baby, okay? Somebody got to pay on the first date.
I like that.
Anyway. I just went off on a whole tangent. I'm very high.
me too. And I've been drinking. I made like a Douce Beatbox, like Popeye's lemonade margarita in the blender. And I'm feeling it.
I say all that to say I went on the date. The guy's really nice. But and he's actually very like, I feel like he's eventually gonna want to move faster than me towards a label. Not saying that he's like absolutely interested in me per se, but I'm saying he's the type of person, like, he's very intentional with the way he dates. And I'm like, oh, I'm just out here, like, hi, like, and he's like,
fine.
He has very clear intentions on why he's dating right now. And so I worry about that. And so my response to that is to start.
Is it upper or downer?
What do you mean?
Which one did you go on the date with?
What are you talking about?
Older or I don't.
Oh, you don't want to say? Okay, the older guy. I went on a date with the older guy.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah, so he, okay, and that, the age, this is why we have to be ages, because sometimes at different ages you have,
I need to know that detail.
You have different things, like this guy says he wants to get married someday. I'm already like, this guy says, like, you know, the one thing we agree on, nobody wants any kids. I'm like, okay, great. But he's very nice. I'm just worried that I'm probably going to hold him up on his journey and finding his love of his life. Like, I feel like I'm probably one of the little pissy puddles in the pool in his life. Not to say that I, you know, because we have a lot in common. We like the same music, you know. That's a plus for me. If we can listen to the same stuff and I'm not going to get judged for turning on this folk song at 5 o'clock in the morning, like, fine. I like that type of stuff. But I don't, I'm catching myself, like, you know, putting my hand out to, like, keep him back a little bit to avoid us both wasting each other's time. Because okay. I actually have a crush on him. Now that I've been on a date with him, I have a crush on him. So it's like, damn.
I love crushes. Oh my God. I'm this sick person. I love how I feel.
I just feel like it's so dumb to be grown as fuck with a crush. Like, I just.
They have a crush. Yes. Be like, girl, what the, stand up, be strong.
I forgot who posted that on their story the other day, but somebody said that, and I was like, you right, it's really childish to have a crush at big ages. Like, I'm almost 30. Like, do you like me or not?
Yeah, like, do you want to be my man or no? Like, it'd be like,
check the box, like, bitch.
Okay, bitch, and pass the letter back now. But it's like, I'd be thinking about them all day. I'd be missing how they smell. Like, it'd be like little stupid perks and shit you'd be thinking about. You'd be like, girl, go read a book or something. And I just, like, it's such a good feeling, though. It makes me feel, I love when I actually have, like, crushes. I'm just like, yeah, you gonna be my man.
That goes back to say all. I say all that to say that explains the kind of attachment style I have. Like, it gets real weird for me. Another person I have a crush on, I'm taking him out on a date. And I'm a little nervous. That's the second part of my confession.
Oh my God, this is so juicy.
It's not the same guy.
Oh yeah, I know. Okay, so this other guy, like, what made you ask him out on a date? Like, do you want to? Okay, so, like, I don't know. I have so many questions.
Some of them won't be answered during the podcast, but I will say I've known him for a really long time, and he's been blocked quite a few times. But I don't think we really know each other. Like, we never really were able to, because he was in a relationship for so long, and then, you know, I was just floating around, and like we just never got there. And so he would get blocked because he would do something to piss me off. It was like he never owed me anything. We never had there was never nothing that was like, you did this outside of the boundaries that we have set. It's like, there was no boundaries. Like, we owed each other nothing. And I can admit that now. That I'm older, like, and, like, not, you know, annoying.
That's so hard to actually come to grips with, that somebody, just because you like them or you think of them a certain type of way, that they don't owe you anything.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you're not my man.
Yeah.
Like, we have nothing to establish. But I feel like that's the part of me that I'm trying to train my brain out of. Because I feel like once I like you, you my man. I don't care about nothing else. But it's just like, it's so unhealthy to be that way, because then that creates like a sense of like ownership over someone. Yeah. And I feel like you shouldn't have that. Even if you are with them, you shouldn't be that ownership. I feel like this goes back to like people freely doing what they want to do. Like, if they want to talk to you, they'll talk to you. If they want to be around you, they'll be around you. I feel like I want people, if I vibe with you, I want to be around you a lot more and just explore it. And when I don't, I just know that's something that I don't need to entertain. So I usually navigate based on that plane.
So those were my confessions. Oh, but and I say that to say too. You said you said something about being a simp. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I kind of like, if I like somebody, I'm okay with, cause again, I know how to compartmentalize. Like, I can know I'm being a simp, and I can also know that this can be uprooted. So I'm always preparing for the worst. That's that avoided attachment.
Two things can be true.
What Taylor Swift said, speaking of the queen, she said, she said,
not the white queen in Black Woman History Month.
So it's gonna be forever. Or it's gonna go down in flames.
Tell me
when it's over. If the hype was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers. They'll tell you I'm insane. Cause I got a blank space, baby. And I'll write your name. Okay, when she said that, it's like, girl, how are you already expecting the worst? That's my. I feel like Taylor Swift is probably an avoidant attachment / anxious attachment, because she always got a man, but I don't know.
I want to be like Taylor Swift. She always got a man. She got like a Rolodex. I just don't want the Kanye beef. But I'll take everything else. Oh, not the flat butt either. I'll take the money.
By the way, fuck Kanye West. He want us to march for him because they stealing his designs. Bitch, you disrespected Black people so much, you can choke on them designs. Ho, that's why they stealing your shit. And I'm going to go buy the fake Yeezys just to piss you off. They already was selling down at the Ross and the Marshalls and the Burlington, okay? Don't nobody give a fuck about you not getting what you think you deserve. Be nicer to your people. You came out of a Black pussy, Black man.
Black man, do you know who you are?
And do you want to apologize to the Jewish community? Okay, where's our apology? Where's our apology? Where's George Floyd's apology? Black bitch. And that's all I got.
Oh my God. And that's how we started the podcast off, talking about bitches.
The Black bitches at that. Add Kanye West to the list, you Black bitch. Don't question what's going on, ho. You apologize to the Black community first.
Period.
Don't ask us for shit until you do. Let's get into our favorite segment, which we haven't done in a very long time. What's it called, Ken?
Rate that.
So, we have a dick to rate this week. Actually, let me check my DMs, because I asked him if we could say his name, and I don't want to say it. He hasn't responded, so I'm not going to say his name, because he did not give me permission to. But one of our Instagram friends / listeners of the show sent us the dick to rate. And I'm just...
Well, okay, you got to be quiet. We're looking at dicks right now.
I'm going to tell you guys right now. You know, usually we do 1 to 5. This one's going to go easily 10 for me. Because this...
Easy 10.
This is a piece of meat. And it's like...
That's a slap.
It's really big, but it's not so big that you couldn't take it every day. You know?
No, that's the perfect dick to suck. It's like a lollipop. It's like...
Ooh, and it's two-toned.
Yes. Oh my God. It's such a perfect dick. It's shaved perfectly. Like, you could tell in the first picture he just woke up to, because that's an ashy morning dick.
And he put it in the email. He was like, oh, it's a little ashy. That ain't no problem.
That ain't no problem, baby. We'll fix that right on up for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Daddy, I got you. We are one stop shop around here. We do what we got to do.
He actually sent us two ashy dick pictures, but that's okay. We know what that means. You've been rolling around with that meat all night, getting brushed up on them covers. That's why it's ashy.
The greased up one, though?
Oh, I love me a greasy slab. I do.
A big greasy slab always does it.
I love me a big hunk of meat. So how many inches do you think this is? Okay, when y'all send dick pics, tell us how big it is so we don't have to guess. Because okay. We want to be able to describe it to the listeners since we can't show y'all.
Okay, the third picture and the first picture makes me think two different sizes. Because that first picture is like ultimate rockerization. It's you licking your... It's you licking your
I just noticed I was doing that. Sorry.
Oh, girl, clean up yourself, man. Clean up yourself.
Clean it up, Kokor.
All right. Oh my God.
If I had to guess, this would be like
8-9.
Two hands and then a little leftover.
That's a like legit. I don't know. That's a good.
I mean, I feel like lengthwise, I feel like it's probably the length of a water bottle.
That.
Yeah. I think that's accurate.
And it's fat. The head is so pretty. It's a big fat mushroom head, but it's like.
It's not that big, but it's definitely a good size mushroom.
That's a fat mushroom head. I've seen way bigger.
So when you say fat, I think of like the fattest ones I've seen. this is cool.
Oh my God, I haven't seen one like that's a fat mushroom.
No, this is very good, and it's like okay. So he's dark skinned, so this is a black dick.
Yeah.
But it's a little lighter towards the tip, and then halfway it goes to that dark shade as the rest of his skin. I love me a two-tone dick.
A Neapolitan nigga always does
okay.
The job.
He also has nice hands. That really helps. You said you like the shave. The shave is cool, but you know I like me a bush. I like to fight through a forest when I'm down there now.
We know woof pussy. I like a little bush. But this is like fine too. I like a little bush, but this is perfect for the dick. It shows it off. Mm-hmm. It gives its enunciation. It lets it know that it's here. He's not ashamed of that dick. That is a healthy dick.
No, this is not a dick to be ashamed of. And this is also unless he's a grower and not a shower, I don't know how he hides this in his pants, you know?
I don't know either. Because it's honestly like I was thinking that too. I'm like, I wonder if he's a grower or a shower. He has to be a shower. Because there's no way that dick goes from like the weight, how big it is now, to a smaller size.
All I got to say is this is a good man, Savannah. Okay.
Yeah. His body look a little cut too.
Oh, he does. He has a very nice body. I think you follow him on Instagram. You will after today, okay? Because this. Is how you greet a man. Pull that dick out.
Walk in the room, dick first. Let the room know why you're here. Let the room know who you are.
State your claim. Be a man and pull that dick out with consent. Because if we don't have to get into all that.
Okay.
Stay away from Diddy. Cat Williams told y'all to say no. That was Rate That Dick. If you guys want to send in a dick, please dick pic, please DM us on the podcast page at Boys Next Door Pod, which I didn't tell y'all to follow earlier. I slipped up. Follow us on Instagram at Boys Next Door Pod and on YouTube at Boys Next Door Pod. Hit that subscribe button. I hate that we didn't do that in the beginning, but so send that dick pic to Boys Next Door, or you can email us at askboysnextdoor@gmail.com. If y'all have confessions or questions, you can also email those to askboysnextdoor@gmail.com, or you can DM us if you don't care about being anonymous. Before we get out of here, we should do come or dump, because I forgot to do that at the top of the show.
What's up with
the goddamn fireworks? What is this?
I did a thumbs up. I didn't know that triggered that.
You're trying to take attention away from Women's History Month, and I think that says a lot.
that big slab of dick did it all.
Okay, let's get back to the men.
Okay, let's get back to the dick. Okay. Now I'm ready to go suck one. I just ate too much Popeyes,
Oh my God, I'm done with Popeyes. I've always felt this about that chicken sandwich. It's too greasy and the bread is too buttery, right? That's why I don't eat it often. But every now and then I get a taste for it. The other day I went down to the Popeyes and got me one, and I was sick for the rest of the night. I was so sick I didn't even feel like going to sleep. But I needed to so I could forget about it.
Like you get the spicy or the regular?
I don't do anything spicy, so I got the mild. Or regular, whatever they call it. And I got me some Cajun fries. I love they fries. Popeye's got like
the best fries. Some of the best. Yeah. I went today and I ordered like on the app. If you order on the app, they give you a reward for free food. And so I got free fries and I got free wings. So I went to go get the wings or whatever. And they kept getting my order wrong. So I went inside and they gave me so much food. I have no food to feed three small villages in the nearest country. And so I'm just like, it made me sad. I'm like, if I had a boyfriend, I would just share this with him. So now I just want to go find a boyfriend. I've been feeling real simpish. Like, I've been wanting a nigga so bad.
I never finished my comment about being a simp. I like being a simp. I like feeling like, you know what, whatever you say. Yep, whatever. What? You want me to go fetch a pail of water? Whatever. I'll do it.
I love feeling that way, too. Like, I be down bad. I'm trying to get better.
Like, I'm really hard on the outside.
I hear your voice.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm really hard on the outside, but really, whatever you say, nigga, I'm going to do it. I don't like being told what to do, but if I like you, I kind of want to do whatever is going to make you happy.
Yeah, I'm that way, too. But you got to get me there first. I'm a little hard here. Once you get me there and I'm warmed up, I'll be like, nigga, what you need? You need your feet, bro? Come here. You ate today.
Somebody asked me.
I'm a you ate today ass bitch.
Right, like what you want me to get? I've never bought a guy flowers, but I'm thinking about it. We'll talk about that later. Also, I saw my crush at work, but I wasn't close to him. I saw him out doing his job while I was in the break room eating a snack.
What's his job? Oh, I guess never.
I don't really know what his job is, but I'm getting a closer hint as to what he do. I'll take it later. Okay.
Juicy.
Somebody asked me what was a non-sexual turn on for me, and one of them for me is voices. I love men with feminine voices. And somebody I got a crush on got like
a just girl like voice?
It's not a girly. Well, I guess he has a feminine voice, and I just want him to say whatever to me. He can say anything to me, and I just yes, sir, yes, whatever you want, yes.
I thought I'm a brat.
Yeah, you are. We talked about that. And you need a brat tamer.
Oh. Yeah, I think that's the issue. And every time I meet a brat tamer, I'd be like,
not you.
This doesn't work for me. This don't work.
Real so quick, we're going to run through these. Come or dump. Arcade date.
Come. I like that. And then we take cute photos.
A guy who uses a cock ring.
I was going to tweet about this earlier. Hell no. Because why your dick don't work? And it's so fucking weird. Because I know, like, I always see, like, even when strippers do that shit, I'm like, why the fuck you got this cock ring on?
Because they have to keep the blood there so it can stay stiff because they're not hard all the time.
That's
weird. They just doing a job.
That's weird. Yeah, I don't like that. Because now, why are you in a bed with a cock ring? Why are you not horny? And so it's just like I don't like that. It takes away from the illusion. When I see them porn, I'm like, yo, get this broke dick away from me. You like cock rings?
I do. I like the way they look, especially on a big hard dick. You can tell who like cock rings by how they feel, and you can tell which dicks use cock rings because they need to use a cock ring. Some people just have big dicks and they like the way cock rings feel.
Okay, that makes a difference. I usually think their dick is just broke. So I don't know. I've never actually been with a guy who's used a cock ring. Well, with me at least.
I'm going to get me a cock ring and I'll review. And I actually have one. I have a vibrating one.
Oh, use it for the, review it for the Patreon coming soon.
I usually just sit it on my balls if I ever use it. Because I don't feel like, because you know, you got to put the cock ring on when you are totally like flaccid. You got to put one ball in at a time. I don't got time to be doing all that contorting my goddamn testicles to squeeze in this.
Not you got to assemble it.
You really got to like, and you got to do it while you're soft and not aroused. Because otherwise it won't fit or, you know, don't going to get injured. All that extra shit. I don't know.
I don't like doing things that require assembly. No assembly required, please.
Well, speaking of cocks, come or dump, a Prince Albert piercing.
Come. I love them. They're really cute.
I've never seen anybody with one up close. Back in the day, there was this porn star, a big black burly nigga with a cock ring. Y'all know who I'm talking about if you an OG porn girly. It's real vintage, but he real big, black, and muscular. And he had a Prince Albert. And he had nipple piercings, too. And that used to be one of my favorite porn stars. If I find him, I'm going to tell y'all about him. But I guess, just to see, I just feel like that don't hurt. Like, and then how do y'all clean it when you be nutting and peeing and stuff? Like, I don't know.
I love it. I'm curious to see. Why are you in that face? I'm just curious to see if people got one. I'm always curious.
If you got a Prince Albert, send it to the email as boysnextdoor@gmail.com. A man with kids, come or dump.
Come. I don't mind.
And lastly,
what do you think?
Sure. You know, I'm 30 now. Niggas got kids.
Yeah, it happens.
I just, y'all finna get so sick. When I ask you to turn 30, y'all finna be so sick of me. It's not even funny. Y'all are gonna hate me.
It's okay.
I'm 29, darling. No, we won't. Exiting. I'm in my Saturn return year. I'm learning shit. Okay, ashy feet.
No. Hell no.
Are you don't. Sure? Because you be liking them like DDTs and they don't wash their feet or their ass. So I just want to know.
How did this become about me? Know. And the niggas that the DDTs I fuck with are very clean. Like, they're like, I usually fuck with the really, like, I won't say sassy DDTs, but like the rappers or the... Oh no. The rappers or like the shit. The rappers or ballers and shit like that, and they really be on top of the game, so.
Let's wrap this up right now. Thank y'all so much for listening to this week's episode of Boys Next Door.
Thank you for listening.
I'm so sorry there will not be a visual component to this episode.
We totally forgot.
I could KMS right now, but you know what? Thank y'all.
Don't.
I just got real hot and real because I'm mad at myself.
Don't be. It happens. We love y'all.
All right, no video this week, but thank y'all for... well, at least we recorded the audio. God damn.
Okay. Fuck, we got one thing right. We can't get it all right.
We going to have to put some on YouTube. Thank y'all. Please follow us on Instagram at Boys Next Door Pod. Follow us on the YouTube, which is now cursed, at Boys Next Door Pod. You can follow me on Instagram at Blackberry.
You can follow me at Ken Lush, KENLUSHH. It's so weird doing this without thinking about the visual part now, because I keep wanting to like do
something. I'm wearing this shirt again.
I was already thinking that. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to put this outfit back on.
Oh, bye.
Bye, y'all. Say my name, say baby, I love you.